Good morning, and thanks for joining us once again for our little daily devotional. And this morning, I want to turn our attention to a couple of little phrases we have in Genesis chapter 16. I spoke on this at the prayer meeting some time ago, but I think these two little statements are applicable and comforting for us at this time. I want us to read just some verses in Genesis chapter 16 together. So we'll start at verse number 7. It says, "And the angel of the Lord found her by the fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur." And he, that is the angel of the Lord, he said, "Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence comest thou? And whither wilt thou go?" And she said, "I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai." And the angel of the Lord said unto her, "Return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hand." And the angel of the Lord said unto her, "I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, and it shall not be numbered for multitude." And the angel of the Lord said unto her, "Behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man, and his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of his brethren." And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, "Thou God seest me," for she said, "Have I also here looked after him that seeth me?" This is part of the story of Hagar. We'll not go into all the details of it. It would take too much time. But you'll find the background to this little passage which we read together there from, even going back to Genesis chapter 12 and read the story of Abraham and Sarah, who had been promised an inheritance and promised an heir, but they decided to take things into their own hands concerning the heir, and it hasn't turned out well. And Hagar, who became Abraham's second wife, because of trouble in the household, has fled from the presence of Sarah. And so the Lord meets her here in the wilderness and speaks to her. And there's two little, and sends her back to Sarah and says, "Go back." But as she goes back, there's two little words of comfort that he gives to her. And the first one I want to look at is the one that we find in verse 13. "Thou God seest me." What a beautiful thing that is, to know that that God sees us in the midst of our troubles. Hagar was in a time of trouble, and she thought the only way out was to leave the trouble behind. But you know, the Lord sends her back into that same place because he says, I see what's going on. I know your trouble. I know what you're going through at this time, but go back. You know, sometimes we would long to be out of our troubles. You know, maybe there's troubles, maybe in health, or maybe there's troubles in the family, and things are not just right in some parts of the family, and or maybe you're looking around at what's going on at the minute, and you see nothing but trouble and distress. But you know, the Lord sees you in the midst of your troubles. He doesn't take you from your troubles, but he sees you in the midst of the trouble. There's a lovely story. We have it over there in Mark chapter 6, and also in Matthew chapter 14. It's the same incident, just slightly different pictures of it. But the incident is this, that the Lord has sent the disciples across the sea in the boat, and he himself has gone up into the mountain to pray. Right in the middle of the night, in the darkest hours of the night, it's in the fourth watch, it says, in the darkest time of the night, there's a terrible storm, and the disciples don't know what to do, and they've been trying to bring the thing under control that can do nothing. But the Lord's on the mountain and he's in communion with his Father in heaven. And it says that the Lord saw them toiling in the midst of the sea. Isn't that a wonderful thing? The Lord saw them toiling in the midst of the sea. And it says that he went unto them, walking on the water. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You know, he could quite easily have spoken from the mountain and have stilled the storm. He knew they were going over to the other side. He could have withheld the storm on their journey, but no. He permits the storm, and in the midst of the storm he walks to them on the water. And he comes to them where they are in all their fear, and he says unto them, "Be not afraid, it is I." You know, sometimes God doesn't remove us from our troubles, but I'll tell you this, God always sees us, and God comes to us in our troubles. And the other little phrase that I want us to look at is in verse 11. It says, "The Lord hath heard thine affliction." You see, in the midst of the trouble, I'm sure that Hagar must have called upon the name of the Lord, because it says, "The Lord hath heard thy affliction." The Lord has seen what's going on. The Lord has heard. And you know, sometimes we call and we call and we think, does the Lord hear? Yes, the Lord hears. Of course the Lord hears. And the Lord answers in his time. Again, you go over to Exodus, on the third chapter in Exodus, and you find there that the children of Israel, this is hundreds of years later, than the incident we're looking at there. The children of Israel have been in Egypt for a long, long time, hundreds of years. They've been slaves and they're in affliction. And they've been calling to God for a deliverer. And you know the story of Moses and all that covers that, and how that Moses had to leave Israel, or had to leave Egypt and go into the wilderness. And there in the wilderness, the Lord appears unto him at the burning bush. And he says this to Moses at the bush. He says, "I have surely seen the afflictions of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry." The Lord seen, and the Lord heard. And the Lord was preparing an answer. Dear child of God, the Lord sees and the Lord hears you in the midst of your troubles, whatever it may be that you're facing, another day or another week. We have a Lord who sees and a Lord who hears and a Lord who will take control of the time of trouble. The hymn writer says, "There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one, no, not one." And the chorus says, "Jesus knows all about your troubles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one, no, not one." Trevor reminded us in the middle of the week that God's eye is on the sparrows. Not one falls to the ground, but he knows you're of much more value than many sparrows. There's a hymn that written by a lady called Savilla Martin in 1904, and I want to read it to you. It just makes that point again. It's that, maybe you've heard it some, "His eye is on the sparrow," but here's what it says. "Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Let not your heart be troubled, his tender words I hear, and resting on his goodness I lose my doubts and fears. Though by the path he leadeth but one step I may see, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give place to sighings, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to him. From care he sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. There's a wee chorus that goes between each of the verses as this. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. He sees. He knows. He understands. And he cares. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that once again we can turn to a God who knows our every need. You knew our need of salvation, and you sent your lovely Son into the world to die for us on Calvary's cross that we might be redeemed. You know every struggle that we have to bear. You know at this time, Lord, those who in our assembly have loved ones laid aside, there are those in our assembly, Lord, who are involved in the forefront of the battle against this virus. Father, we commit them to you. We commit those to you, Lord, who have worries, maybe in their household, maybe in their businesses. Father, you know, because you see, and you have promised that when we cry unto you, you will hear. So we cry unto you today, Heavenly Father, to come close and to bless us throughout this another day and make us to be a blessing to others. Hear our prayer and answer in our Saviour's worthy name. Amen.